My first guest in this edition is South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson, a Republican representing the Palmetto State's 2nd Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Armed Services, Foreign Affairs, and Education and Labor Committees. It's on the domestic front that we want to focus our attention today as President Obama defends his record $3.6 trillion budget blueprint for 2010 and also addresses major issues like health care reform and energy policy reform, in addition to trying to solve the current financial mess. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Greg, it's an honor to be with you, and I appreciate you educating the American people on key issues before us.
Well, the president says today in defending his budget that it doesn't try to do everything at once, although he says at the same time that American families don't have the choice as to whether to pay their mortgage or pay medical bills, so we do have to multitask to some extent. What do you make of the president trying to move forward with some major reforms in addition to addressing the economy in this budget?
Well, actually, my view is that what he's doing is raising taxes on all Americans, and he will make it much more difficult to make, as he states, the mortgage payment and paying the bills. In fact, in his budget, he has a proposal called cap and trade, which is a tax, and it's a tax on oil and gasoline and natural gas. And what happens is that it would cost the average homeowner, a family, $3,128 a year. And so if you didn't have financial problems before his budget went through, you would afterwards. I can truly identify, I know so many families, how this would just be catastrophic to have nearly $250, $300 more in expense for gasoline each month.
Congressman, we've talked about cap and trade on the program quite a bit over the past few weeks, but go into a little more detail. How does this program work, and why would so much extra cost be upon each American household?
Well, Greg, sadly to me, it's a shell game, and that is that it's by having cap and trade, you're capping the CO2 carbon dioxide emissions, and then you are trading them. But when you and to trade, then you have to buy them, and so then, for a utility or for a service station to be able to sell gas or natural gas or electricity, they would have to buy these credits. And when they buy the credits, then that's part of a cost of doing business. And so the consumer will pick up a $250 to $300 increase in cost every month.
So basically what you're saying is that these other companies will be forced by the government to pay a much higher price for what they already do, and therefore to be able to stay in business and turn at least some sort of profit, they've got to pass that cost along to somebody, and that somebody is us.
And Greg, anytime we hear about corporate taxes, and America has the second highest corporate taxes in the world, what happens is that's the cost of business. It's really not a corporate tax. It's a people tax, in that the American people are paying that tax. And so we need to reduce the corporate tax. We need to make sure that we don't have a cap and trade. There are other ways to clean the environment and promote energy and efficiency without causing people to have to pay $250 more every month so that they can drive their car or to provide electricity at their home.
Congressman, even some Republicans like John McCain support a form of a cap-and-trade system. So what do the political tea leaves look like on Capitol Hill? Given the price tag on the average home, I'm guessing this will be somewhat politically unpopular, but there's obviously been a pretty significant movement towards a greener, quote-unquote, policy. So how do you expect this to play out?
Well, what I'm hoping is that the American people will find out what cap-and-trade really means, and that is that they pay more. Pay a lot more, because to me $250 a month is a lot of money, and but they need to let their members of Congress know that they support, I know what I support, and it's the all the above energy plan, and that would be that we would provide for natural gas, for hydrogen fuel cell research, for development of biofuels, for the development of nuclear power. All of these can be done in a clean way, where you can reduce carbon dioxide without taxing the American people.
Last week on the program, Congressman, we spoke with Louisiana Senator David Vitter, who, along with your colleague in the House, John Shattuck of Arizona, are putting together what they call a no-cost stimulus plan designed to add no additional burden to the taxpayers, but open up ANWR, open up the Outer Continental Shelf, ideas that have long been opposed by the Democrats. So politically, its feasibility is in question. But they say that's a key way to not only increase revenues for the government at no cost to the taxpayer, but also to create millions of jobs. What's your sense on the viability of that plan?
Well, again, I'm just so hopeful, Greg, and you're doing your part educating the American people. When the American people find out that by recovery of natural gas, by drilling for natural gas, say, off the coast of my home state of South Carolina, that this can create jobs, it can create legitimate royalty revenues to local governments, the county governments, municipal, state government. It can provide for development of infrastructure, all creating jobs without one penny of government money.
Congressman, getting back to the Obama budget now, $3.6 trillion, obviously that's a record. We're looking at a potential deficit for fiscal year 2010 of about $1.75 trillion. The president, though, says that in the long run, they're making investments in energy policy, which we've already discussed, as well as healthcare and some other major areas. He says it's basically an investment to cutting costs in the long run. How do you respond to that?
I think that's dead wrong. By borrowing as much money as will be imposed by this increase in spending, it will cause the interest rates to go up. It could cause, it's already been warned by economists and, of all things, even by the Prime Minister of Japan, that this excessive spending could cause the circumstance of the devaluation of the dollar. By doing that, that would truly impoverish a lot of Americans who have money invested in 401ks. It would make, I think it would put Social Security in jeopardy, in that the value of whatever payments that would be coming from Social Security, if there was a devaluation of the dollar, the people who legitimately depend on Social Security will be put at risk.
We're talking with South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson. And Congressman, another thing the president has mentioned repeatedly and did so again multiple times today in defending his budget was saying that we inherited this crisis and we can't keep kicking this can down the road like we have for the past several years. So clearly making it pointed that he blames the Bush administration for a lot of the situation that we're facing right now, not only economically, but in terms of addressing health care, energy and so forth. How fair is that? How unfair is that?
Well, people need to realize that President Bush had a Democrat Congress the last 2 years. Prior to the last 2 years of his administration, there was a high degree of fiscal responsibility. But when the Democratic Party fairly won the elections of 2006, a spending spree did occur. And the president, in fact, stopped many, many spending programs to the point where they passed no appropriations bills last year because they wanted to spend more, and that's what the omnibus bill was. That was a massive spending increase because President Bush wouldn't agree to it as they wanted him to do.
Congressman, as I mentioned a little while ago, you're also a member of the House Education and Labor Committee. One of the big issues that you are dealing with right now is so-called card check legislation. Depending on which side of the issue it's on, it could also be known as the Employee Free Choice Act or the Employee Forced Choice Act. Explain for our listeners what it is and where you stand on the issue.
Well, it's the card check bill, and it's really mischaracterized. It's called the Employee Free Choice Act. It's really misnamed, Greg. Because what it does away with the workers' rights to have a secure and private vote. We all, in elections, it's just normal to have a secret ballot. But in this particular case, this would could lead to intimidation. It could be misstatements of what it means to sign a card for representation. Sadly, it could cause people to actually join a union and have to pay union dues without realizing that wasn't going to be an election where they could hear both sides whether there should be a union or not. And so the bottom line with card check is that it denies workers the right to vote.
What does signing the card mean right now?
If they sign the card right now, it would be providing for an election. But if this law passes, there would be no election. Once 50% plus one of the persons who were within the company signed the bill, or sign the card, there would be an instant union, and then in 120 days, there would be a first contract, a binding contract, which the workers wouldn't have the ability to negotiate for. It would be done through arbitration.
Congressman, real quickly, your thoughts on the fate of that legislation. What do you expect in the end?
Well, again, I'm so hopeful, Greg, and what you're doing is helpful for the American people to understand that this is a law which takes rights away from workers. It does not give it to the workers. It does give more power to the unions, but it's not for the workers. It's for the unions and the leadership of the unions who would benefit from a massive new dues source.
Congressman, unfortunately, we need to stop there. Thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, Greg, thank you, and I appreciate you, again, getting these key issues to the American people.
South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson represents his state's 2nd Congressional District, member of the House Armed Services, Foreign Affairs, and Education and Labor Committees. This is Dateline Washington.